ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading today from chapter 17. Chapter is entitled The Divisions of Faith. Text number 5 and 6. Please repeat after me. Ashastravihitam goram tapyante ye tapo janaha dambahankara samyukta kamaraga balanvitaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the super soul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Purport: there are persons who manufacture modes of austerity and penance which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions. For instance, fasting for some ulterior purpose, such as to promote a purely political end, is not mentioned in the scriptural directions. The scriptures recommend fasting for spiritual advancement, not for some political end or social purpose. Persons who take to such austerities are, according to Bhagavad Gita, certainly demoniac. Their acts are against the scriptural injunctions and are not beneficial for the people in general. Actually, they act out of pride, false ego, lust and attachment for material enjoyment. By such activities, not only is the combination of material elements of which the body is constructed disturbed, but also the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself living within the body. Such unauthorized fasting or austerities for some political end are certainly very disturbing to others. They are not mentioned in the Vedic literature. A demoniac person may think that he can force his enemy or other parties to comply with his desire by this method, but sometimes one dies by such fasting. These acts are not approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he says that those who engage in them are demons. Such demonstrations are insults to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are enacted in disobedience to the Vedic scriptural injunctions. The word achetasaha is significant in this connection. Persons of normal mental condition must obey the scriptural injunctions. Those who are not in such a position neglect and disobey the scriptures and manufacture their own way of austerities and penances. One should always remember the ultimate end of the demoniac people as described in the previous chapter. The Lord forces them to take birth in the wombs of demoniac persons. Consequently, they will live by demoniac principles life after life without knowing their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If, however, such persons are fortunate enough to be guided by a spiritual master who can direct them to the path of Vedic wisdom, they can get out of this entanglement and ultimately achieve the supreme goal. Ashastra vihitam goram tapyante ye tapo janaha dambahankara samyukta kamaraga balanvitaha karshayanta shariratam bhutagramam achetasaha mam chaivanta shariratam tanvidya suranischayan. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the super soul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. So I welcome all of you to this evening satsang program, the Bhagavad Gita. So we are discussing the 17th chapter. And in the previous verse, Lord Krishna is explaining how is it that men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods, those in the mode of passion worship the demons, and those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. And in this particular verse, the Lord is explaining how it is that a person who is undergoing austerities just for the sake of performing them, or for some ulterior motive with some expectation of some reward, or on account of attachment, such a person is to be considered to be a demon. So it's a very powerful verse, and we have to understand that nowadays a lot of people want to make a show as if they are very austere, because people respect austerity. When you see that a person is performing some austerities, then others are inspired to also do them. But these austerities, if they are used only for the purpose of earning some personal prestige, in order to increase your reputation, then such austerity is of no use. Particularly we see nowadays, politicians are very fond of performing austerities. Particularly in the Indian context, we see how there is a demand that is being made by several states to break up. Right? For example, in Andhra Pradesh, we had this agitation where the people wanted a separate state called Telangana. And also in Maharashtra, we are having an agitation for a separate state by the name Vidarbha. So, lot of people, they get together in order to perform some tapasya, austerities, just so that the government should accede to their request. Right. So if there is a section that wants the separate state, then there will be a group of people who will go on a fast, right? Fast unto death. Right? But because these austerities are with an ulterior motive, just for the purpose of some very mundane material name, fame, glory or prestige or facility, such an austerity is actually condemned by the Lord himself. The Lord says that such an austerity is of no use. Or we see, for example, in our Siddhivinayak temple, thousands of people on a Tuesday, when they want to take darshan of the Lord, they'll be standing in a queue for hours together. Right? Or not only that, there are people who come walking. There might be some people who are staying as far away as Malad, even further, Dahisar and Mira Road and such places. So they start the previous night itself to walk. And all for what reason? So that their child should be getting through the examination. Sisi Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Chai. Or so that you can get a job. Or so that you get a good wife or you get a good husband. So these are the reasons for which people perform this austerity of walking so many kilometers or standing in the queue for hours together under the hot sun. So such austerities are condemned because they do not serve any purpose. Only those austerities which facilitate devotional service or which increase your devotional service, such austerities are actually appreciated by the Lord. Right? Today is a very auspicious day. Today is the appearance day of His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose deity form you see over here next to Srila Prabhupada. He was actually the spiritual master of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let us speak a few minutes about his life, which was actually full of austerities. He was a person who underwent tremendous austerities. Right? If you reflect on his whole life, one finds that right from his early childhood, he was undergoing austerities. When he was just 4 years of age, this is very interesting. It so happened that his father one day brought mangoes home from the market. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his name was Bimal Prasad at that time. He was named as Bimal Prasad because they were worshipping a deity known as Bimala Devi. And by the prayers to that Bimala Devi, he was born. And that's why he was named as Bimal Prasad. So when he was just 4 years of age, as soon as his father brought his mangoes home, he immediately grabbed a mango and started to eat it. And his father was very upset. He told him that, don't you know that whatever we eat should first be offered to the Lord? Can you imagine, this boy was just 4 years of age. What does a four-year-old child know what to do and what not to do? But his father was very serious. And Bimal Prasad, on the spot, he made a vow. He said, I will never ever eat a mango in my life again. Now, this is a very, very big vow for a four-year-old child to take. Right? And one would think, oh, he must be just saying it whimsically. I'm sure, you know, because what small children do is never taken very seriously by adults. But Bimal Prasad, although he made this vow at the age of 4, throughout his life, he never ate a single mango. And later on, when he grew up and he became a spiritual master, he became a guru, his disciples would come and offer him mangoes, and then they would request him, please, Gurudev, please honor these mangoes. And then he would say, no, I cannot. I am an offender. I have committed offenses, so I am not entitled to eat mangoes. Right, so this was the character of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was so firm in his determination that if he had taken a particular vow, he would absolutely be steadfast and stick to it. In fact, when he was a small child, just a few months old, just to show, the Lord himself wanted to show that he was a very special person. This annual Rath Yatra cart had just stopped outside his house. His father was a magistrate in the court. He was a very high-ranking officer in a court. So his father was having residence on the route where the Rath Yatra would take place in Jagannath Puri. And then the Rath Yatra cart had stopped outside his house for 3 days. So Bimal Prasad's mother carried Bimal Prasad to the Lord. Lord Jagannath was standing on his Rath Yatra cart. And then she took the baby and made the baby pay obeisances to the Lord. And just at that time, the garland that was there around Lord Jagannath fell down on its own around the neck of Bimal Prasad. So it was a very, very auspicious indication to everybody that here was a very, very special person. And from his early life, he was displaying such wonderful qualities. He could memorize shlokas and remember them without any problem. He was really actually a genius. And then as he was practicing his devotional life, in this month of Chaturmas, when we all abstain for 4 months in a year from eating certain foodstuff like green leafy vegetables, yogurt and udit dal and so on. In those months, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would take a vow, and it was a very, very tough vow to take. He would take a vow that he would eat just rice, plain rice with absolutely no spices and no salt, with a little bit of ghee in it. And this rice, after it was cooked, he would put it on the floor. And then he would place both his hands to his back, and then he would bend down just like a cow. He would eat this rice just like how a cow eats it. So he would bend down, and then he, as much rice as he can eat in one session. That means not that he would get up and then again go down. So whatever rice he can eat in one session, that is all he would eat for the whole day. So this was the tapasya that he would do for this entire period of 4 months. And then, at one point of time, he took a vow to chant 1 billion names of God. Now this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what we chant, has 16 names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this has 16 names. And 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra, what we chant, normally is around 25,000 names. So he would chant 3 lakh names every day. That means 192 rounds. Now this was something that was being practiced about 500 years back, about 400 years back, by Haridas Thakur. He was a great sage who had such a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord that every day he would chant 300,000 names of the Lord. Now 300,000 names of the Lord, in order to chant, it would take you at least 16 hours. 16 to maybe 18 hours a day. Right? So how much time does that leave you for your other activity? Practically nothing. Right? In the remaining 6 hours or 8 hours, you have to have your bath, you have to eat your prasadam, you have to take rest, you have to do your other activities. Right? So Haridas Thakur would chant 192 rounds every day. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took on this vow to chant this 192 rounds for nearly 10 years. And every day, very, very meticulously, he would chant this 192 rounds. And even if it became too hot, he would just shut himself inside the room and chant day and night. And if it was raining, because the particular place that he was staying in had a roof with lot of holes in it, so he would not be disturbed. He would just take an umbrella and sit under the umbrella and chant. So this was dedication. And he continued this for nearly 10 years. Day in and day out, for a person to be chanting 192 rounds is not an easy task. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a very special person. In fact, he had several disciples who were sannyasis, and he encouraged a few of them to go abroad to preach the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Some of them went to London, and he was keen that some of them should also go to America. And There is this very wonderful pastime where one of the sannyasis, when he was abroad in the UK, he came across one very prominent personality who was like a lord. And this person was actually very spiritual. He was very spiritually inclined. So he came to the sannyasi disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and asked him, "Can I become a brahmana?" So this sannyasi said, "Of course you can become a brahmana. Anybody can become a brahmana. So what do I have to do in order to become a brahmana?" So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple said that you just have to follow these four regulative principles. That's no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And this particular lord immediately said, "Impossible." Because the nature is, particularly the West, these things are taken for granted. These are not considered to be anything of an aberration. To be intoxicated or to do illicit sex or meat eating or gambling is considered to be a normal way of life. So when somebody goes and preaches saying that this is a requirement in order to be a brahmana, naturally it is viewed that it's impossible. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was preaching in Calcutta in the year 1922. And at that time, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who was known at that time as Abhay Charan, he was already married and he was having his own business. One day it so happened that his friend, Abhay Charan's friend, told him that there is a sannyasi who has come to Calcutta and I would like you to meet him. Now Abhay Charan already had a lot of experience with sannyasis, because his father, Gaur Mohan Day, would every day invite sannyasis to their house. Because this was the practice in the olden days, just about 100 years back. Very pious business people would invite sannyasis to their home for prasadam, because it was considered to be a pious activity to do, to invite sannyasis to your homes. But a lot of time Abhay Charan would see that the sannyasis are not really following the rules and regulations, and he was quite disturbed. So when his friend told him that there is a sannyasi who has come to Calcutta and that you should meet him, he was not particularly inspired. But because his friend was very insistent, he said, "No, Abhay Babu, you should come with me. I am telling you that this person would be a very inspirational person for you to meet." So then, just in order to make his friend happy, Abhay Charan went along with his friend to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And as soon as Abhay Charan paid his obeisances to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you appear to be a very intelligent person. Why don't you preach the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the West, in the English language? Now Abhay Charan was completely taken aback. He said, "This is his first meeting with a spiritual master, future spiritual master." He didn't even consider him to be anybody who was worshipable, because he had this bad experience with other sannyasis and gurus. But just when he was paying his obeisances, at that time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him what he should do in the future. He gave him the most important instruction in his life. So Abhay Charan immediately got up and then told us he wanted to try and convince his spiritual master that this is, it's not possible. There is something, so many other things to do than to preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that, you know, Mahatma Gandhi is there who is trying to get freedom for this country. This was in the year 1922. So actually I am inspired by the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi. So I think that is a higher priority, to help Mahatma Gandhi to get freedom. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at him and said that actually the political situation is such that we will always be ruled by somebody. Right? Somebody or the other will always have to be a ruler. So that does not change things in any way. Today there is one ruler, tomorrow there is some other, somebody else will be ruling us. But God consciousness or Krishna consciousness cannot wait. It is urgent. We have to give this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu urgently. So Abhay Charan at that time was married and he already had children. And he was thinking to himself, how can I do this? How can I be an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread this teachings of this, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the West? How is it possible? It took him nearly 40 years. It was in the year 1965 that Srila Prabhupada finally went to America. Right? And after that we all know, rest is history, so to say. Right? In a matter of 13 years, or rather 11 years, Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world 13 times, not just once or twice, just in order to follow the instructions of his spiritual master, which he had received about 40 years back. So this one instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to Srila Prabhupada 40 years back actually drove Srila Prabhupada to travel around the world 13 times. And he set up over 108 temples of ISKCON and spread the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to every nook and corner. Today the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is famous all over the world. Anywhere you go, whichever part of the world, whether you are in Europe or whether you are in America, whether in South America, right? Whether you are in Australia, each and every one is aware practically of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. All because of one instruction that was given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to Abhay Charan on this fateful day in the year 1922. And during that particular time when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was preaching, there was a very strong resistance to this Vaishnava philosophy. There was a lot of Mayavad philosophy which was being preached. And there was a tremendous resistance. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was known as Simha Guru. He was known as a Lion Guru. Because he was so strong in his preaching, he would not waver. So many Mayavad people would come to him and try to change his belief. But he would completely smash their philosophy. Because he would preach with so much of conviction. So this great soul was born on 6th of February 1874, nearly 150 years back. And today we are celebrating his appearance day. So the appearance day of a spiritual master is considered to be very, very auspicious, because on that day you can approach the spiritual master and ask him for some special benedictions. You can pray to him and request him to be able to improve the quality of our own spiritual life. Because ultimately, our spiritual life depends on the quality of our sadhana, on how we are able to chant the holy names of the Lord, how we are able to associate with devotees, how scrutinizingly we read the scriptures, and how we apply that into our lives. So on the appearance and disappearance day of great Vaishnavas, these are occasions when we can pray to them. And request them for spiritual strength in our own spiritual practices. Because the greatest austerity that we can perform in this age of Kali Yuga is to chant the holy names of the Lord. That itself is the biggest austerity that one can follow. So like in this verse it is said that a demoniac person practices austerities which have got no meaning, which are all in relation to the body. But if we practice this austerity of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely and seriously, then that austerity has real potency. Because that will give us immense spiritual strength. And that is the austerity that is actually recommended in this age of Kali Yuga. Just perform that austerity. There is nothing else that you are required to do. So, let us very, very meditatively pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur today on his appearance day to give us the spiritual strength to be able to make advancement in our own spiritual lives. Are there any questions? So, thank you very much. We'll have Kirtan now, so please stay back. There'll be Darshan at 8:50. So, devotees are requested to stay back. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki chai. Srila Prabhupada ki chai.